Austria and Germany, who was the eldest brother of Marie Antoinette. My uncle accompanied him around the exhibition, explaining every interesting circumstance connected with different figures. The emperor appeared delighted with all he saw and expressed a wish to visit my uncle's studio. As my uncle conducted the emperor down the stairs, the emperor's olfactory nerves were greeted with a scent ever welcome to a German, and he lifted up his hands and threw back his head, exclaiming with an expression of extreme pleasure, "Oh, mein Gott, there is sauerkraut!" At this, my uncle opened the door to the dining room, revealing our family seated at dinner around the tempting sauerkraut.
"Oh, do let me join you,"
exclaimed the emperor. A plate was quickly produced, and His Imperial Majesty joined us en famille, and ate, drank, talked, laughed and joked with all possible affability, making himself as much at home as if he had been in his own palace. He spoke German throughout, and appeared delighted to have found those who could speak it with him. Amongst the various members of the French royal family who called upon my uncle to admire his work was Madame Elizabeth, the younger sister of Louis XVI. When the princess, who was 3 years younger than me, expressed a desire to learn the art of wax modelling, my uncle was generous enough to suggest me to be her teacher. Princess Elizabeth and I soon became as close to being friends as her position allowed, and she asked my uncle for his permission for me to reside with her at the Palace of Versailles. Thus it was that at the age of 18, I took up residence in the royal household of the king. The princess would frequently rise at 6 and ride for an hour or two. Having breakfasted, she would occupy herself at her embroidery, at which she was renowned, or in reading, writing, and sometimes playing the harpsichord. She was very fond of modelling in wax, especially figures of Christ, the Virgin Mary, and other holy subjects, many of which she gave to friends. One of her occupations was particularly characteristic of the time. With pious zeal, Madame Elizabeth would often model the legs and arms of crippled persons who requested it of her. The models were afterwards hung in churches around Paris. In appearance, Madame Elizabeth was rather handsome, despite being below average height. She had blue eyes, a fair complexion, and light hair, which she wore powdered. Later, she became very stout, but still remained elegant in her deportment and most amiable in her manners. She was always very pleasant towards her servants. She was very regular in her manner of living, dined at 4, retired early, and seldom gave parties. Marie Antoinette, the wife of Louis XVI, seemed to me to combine every attribute which could be said to constitute loveliness in a woman. She possessed youth, beauty, grace and elegance to a degree, and enchanted all who ever had the happiness to be greeted by her. She was above average height and had a commanding air of the kind that wins obedience rather than demands it. Her complexion was so extremely fair that Madame Lebrun, the celebrated portrait painter, remarked that it was impossible for the art of colouring to do full justice to the delicacy and transparency of her skin. Her eyes were blue, with a singular softness of gaze. Her hair was light, and she always wore powder. Her bust and waist were of the most perfect proportion. Her feet were small, and her hands remarkably beautiful. Whether sitting or walking, she displayed both dignity and ease. In fact, an innate grace seemed to pervade all her actions, as might perhaps be expected of the daughter of an emperor. Despite being Austrian, she was perfectly fluent in the French language, and her voice was particularly harmonious. She enjoyed singing, and when she sang, she did so with feeling and sweetness. That she was fond of pleasure, dress, and admiration, there can be no doubt. And that she lent too willing an ear to admiration is possible, but that she was ever guilty of any immorality.